Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit menstclinic.com.
About to catch up with Tim Cato of The Athletic. Talk about your Dallas Mavericks after a badly needed win last night over the Miami Heat. Hour number three of the G-Bag Nation as we continue to rock with you live from the Dallas Boat Show here in Market Hall right off of Stemmons. Come on by, get your dream boat of the future. But they've got much more than just boats here as well. Some awesome waterwear as well, sportswear that you can get. And we got some drinks. We got some drinks that are flowing from some Tolo that are hanging out with us behind the scenes here. That's awesome. The drinks and the food, I'm sure, is around here as well. And every once in a while, they'll fire off one of the speakers for one of the bigger boats that's here. You can have a little party there that's going on. So this is a blast. Top 10 coming up on the other side. Of course, we got what you're drinking, what you're thinking at 520. Zach Wolchuk alongside Brian Broaddus. We got Lucius Alexander back at Master Control. Carter Freeman running your video. And shout out to Ruben, who is running things right now for us here, producing live on the scene. But without further ado, let's welcome in, courtesy of the D&M Leasing Hot Seat, the one and only Tim Cato. Tim, we love you. We had to have you on again. Thank goodness it's after a win. How badly needed was that victory last night over the Heat?
I think it was pretty needed. Yeah, this is a team that had been in a rough stretch. I think when I was on a couple weeks ago, we had a different tone about the team, and there's been a little bit of a reality check. We'll get into all of that, but important and necessary and impressive in its own ways win over the Miami Heat last night.
So during the struggle, I think a lot of the focus was on defense, and there's been a lot of fans that have soured maybe on Jason Kidd. You had an awesome article that you wrote, and I encourage everybody, if you haven't, go and read that on The Athletic from Tim Cato. But if you can kind of just give our listeners that maybe haven't had a chance, what are some of the issues that you've seen during the struggles defensively for the Mavs?
Yeah, in that article, I talk a lot about the team scheme and how the team scheme is meant to hide Luka and hide Kyrie. And I want to be very clear. In no circumstance am I looking at the Mavericks and being like, hey, Luka's the problem.
Right.
You know, hey, Kyrie's the problem. I still like that duo a lot offensively, obviously. You know, Luka, you know, MVP candidate, etc. So many things you can say. Kyrie has been fantastic this year. But these two have not been as good as we've seen defensively this season. And fundamentally, if you're choosing to pair Luka with a small defense deficient guard, that is a choice of identity. And it's the same choice that Dallas has made pretty much since they started, pretty much since the Porzingis trade. You know, first idea was shot blocking, two-way center. Porzingis wasn't quite that in Dallas. So they've gone with small guards, and they've tried to put enough defense around them. And obviously at the trade deadline, once again, they went out and got PJ Washington. You know, they got another rim-protecting center. These are identity choices, but you know, they've just cycled through the same identity. And so as I was looking back at the past couple weeks of Mavs defense, a lot of it was, okay, this is the scheme they try to run. Where are the problems? One of the problems was that Luka and Kyrie were not playing up to their standards. I don't think Kyrie was much better than he has been against Miami. Luka definitely picked it up in the second half, and that's important because, you know, if you have those guys guarding in the corners, and the corner three is the easiest you know, best shot in basketball other than a, you know, an easy layup. You know, those guys have to, you know, come help it towards the lane, and then they have to get back out to those shooters. And there wasn't enough of, you know, either helping initially or getting back out to those guys. Now, those guys need to be better. The identity they've chosen to put a bunch of defenders around them, are the defenders good enough still? You know, like, that's still an open question. But I think what this streak was really showing to me was, all right, this is the identity they've chosen. This is how they're going to try to win with Luka Doncic. Where are the problems? Is it an identity thing? Is it just the players around Luka and Kyrie? Is it Kyrie and Luka needing to be better? You know, where does this start? Where does this end? You know, I could keep talking for 10 more minutes. So I'll let you guys ask the next one, and we'll keep this discussion going.
Yeah, but Tim, okay, I want you to talk the next 10 minutes about it. I really, really do. Because to me, every time anybody ever asked me a question in NFL about identity, mm-hmm. I just scoffed. I'm like, you know, their identity is, you know, it's winning. And when you win, you have an identity. When you lose, you have an identity. I always – but with the Mavs, where did they determine, though, they knew they needed to make the trade, but do you feel like that they didn't get the right pieces, or were the problems really more deeper than that?
So Gafford is an interesting one because – and especially the combination of Gafford with Washington.
Right.
What we've seen from P.J. Washington is that he hasn't been a reliable spot-up shooter, that he is capable with the dribble, that he can make moves – that's a good thing that they needed. But because he's not a reliable spot up shooter, when I've seen him at his best is often when the Mavericks are playing five out, which is to say they have Maxi Kleber on the floor, a shooting center who probably, you know, as much as he does shoot, but he's someone who spots up. And then PJ all of a sudden has a lot more room to operate within the arc. You don't have to rely on him as a spot up guy. But the Mavericks also traded for a non-shooting center,
sure.
You know, and they had this whole idea of 48 minutes of playing four out with a rim runner at all times. You know, it was going to be Lively and Gafford. And, you know, everybody was talking after the trade, 48 minutes mm-hmm. of this type of player. And we've already seen that isn't the case, that in some instances, Jason Kidd has gone back to Maxi, to close games, to, you know, when they needed a boost. And so, you know, identity, whatever you want to call it, that's one part of the team that sure. is already just a little bit incongruent. And, you know, there's still ways to work around this. And, you know, Derek Lively was fantastic. It helped that he didn't have to deal with a shooting big man on the other side. But you saw him against Bam. He is such a big, athletic
right.
guy. Derek Lively is and really bothered him. But, yeah, so... You know, you mentioned Kidd and you mentioned player, you know, or fans, the fan base beginning to turn on Kidd.
Right.
I think that a lot of coaches would struggle with, you know, these incongruencies and trying to figure out how exactly to stitch these lineups together. I do think there is a way for a very good coach to find the right combinations. And Jason Kidd's running out of time to do that this season. You know, even if coming off a win, you know, certainly he found some answers, changed some, you know, the starting lineup, used some different combinations. And for at least one game, it looks like he has a few more ideas that are, you know, make more sense of the talent that this team does have.
Tim, I mean, you do a hell of a job over there, so I don't mean to step into your world, but I do know some people over there in the organization. And one of the things, I just wanted to run it by you because you do a great job. The thing they said to me was, we're playing too many guys. That seems to be something that we know we're not good on defense, but we're playing too many guys. Is this something that your basketball eyes are seeing? Is it a legitimate a thought?
Kind of. I think they're playing too many guys because they don't know which ones are sure. are these combinations. That it's taking some time to cycle through and say, okay, what is this five-man unit, and a lot of the times when we're talking about a five-man unit, we mean like which three players that are kind of fringe rotation players are we going to cycle in and out of? And, you know, because Luka and Kyrie, one of those two is always going to be on the court, you know, which players against which matchups most, you know, most complement, you know, the specific game that they're playing. And so I think if the number of guys they're playing is an issue, it's an issue in as much that they still don't totally know which ones to go to at which times. And, you know, with a midseason trade, that's a tough thing.
Sure.
But I also understand looking at Kidd and saying, that's your job. You're paid a lot of money to figure this out.
Right.
Dante Exum, I will say, last night against Miami, you know, he has to be one of those guys. And, you know, like since the All-Star break, there's one player on the team that has two games with five or more assists. It's Dante Exum, not Kyrie Irving.
Sure.
Kyrie Irving does not have, I believe he has one 5-assist game. Exum's the only guy with two. He is a connector. He plays defense. You know, it did help last night that Miami sent a lot more double teams at Luka than Dallas had been seeing. And so that kind of gives Dante, you know, a 4v3 situation. I think that's where his skill set really comes out. But yeah, as much as they can within the confines of the minute restriction, it's not a rigid one, but, you know, he feels healthy. But Dallas wants to keep his minutes down a little bit, but finding a way to get him on the floor, I think, is a necessary one. And, you know, if it comes at the expense of other people in the rotation, I think that's we're getting to that point where that's possibly a necessary thing.
It's interesting as you talk with Tim Cato of The Athletic here in the G-Bag Nation that you bring that up, because it makes me think of in the Mavs conference finals run a couple of years ago, they had so much success with that three-guard lineup with Brunson, Dinwiddie, and Luka. So is that something that you think down the stretch here and into the postseason with Exum being that connector, Luka and Kyrie, they should maybe rock with as well, and then whoever you want is the other two in the five-man lineup?
Yeah, I think so. You know, he's a very different player than Spencer Dinwiddie, of course, but I just think having a third guy who, you know, it's one thing to dribble. Like, you know, there's a bunch of players on this team who can dribble the ball past half court. There's a few players on this team who can pump fake and attack a closeout with a dribble. There's not a lot of players who can dribble into the lane, spin around, keep his dribble alive, find another guy. That's what Dante Exum does, and I do think that helps the offense, just gives it a little bit more vroom and you know, just keeps things moving a little bit. And as Jason Kidd loves to say, you know, that this team's defense is its offense. The numbers back that up. They're far better after a made shot than a missed shot. Some of that is just like the way it sets up on the court, that if Luka is driving past the baseline and then he kicks to the corner shooter, that corner shooter is probably going to be, you know, one of their athletic defenders, and he'll be shooting. And if he misses, he's real far. Like, he's got a long way to go back. And Luka now has a long way to go back because he just drove past the baseline. And all of a sudden, those transition opportunities, they're a lot easier to give up. So, yeah, I think just adding one more guy to the mix who can, you know, drive and touch the paint, that's another thing that Kidd loves to say. I think that's a benefit for this team.
Tim, so, do you feel like, though, that this people say this team gets distracted? Ooh. Is that fair? You know, with that sometimes that when things happen poorly with them, they're not maybe a mentally tough group. Is that fair, or are we just looking at low-hanging fruit? It's easy to say, oh, they're distracted, body language is bad, they're a bad team. How do you feel about that?
I think that's fair. And okay. Before I fully give my answer, I have to preface it. I Luka Doncic is an MVP candidate, one of the best players alive. I've literally gone to Slovenia to write about
how awesome
he is, all these things. Yes, I think that the best player, the mentality of your best player, is something that is represented, you know, throughout the team, throughout the rotation, you know, throughout even an organization to an extent. And all those things you said are true to Luka. You know, these are, when you are a superstar, when you are one of the most talented players alive, your criticism that you get is really small stuff, you know, in the grand scheme of things. But one of these small things, and quite frankly, at times this season it has not been a small thing, is Luka and his ability to get distracted, you know, with when the officiating isn't going his way, you know, body language. You know, I wrote about how frustrated he was after a turnover against Indiana or Toronto. It wasn't, I think it was Indiana, But he was frustrated with Tim Hardaway because he thought he should have been in a different spot. And quite frankly, I think it was Luka. You know, it was Luka. But he is someone who will show his frustrations and it will have moments of distraction. And I think that this is a player who is good enough to, you know, win championships with an S, plural. I think that there is a little bit more mental maturity improvement that is still between him and that. Now, maybe you get maybe you solve all the other issues, because this is way down the line in terms of issues and what's preventing this team from being a contender. Maybe you actually get the talent around him, the coaching around him, all of that stuff, and then that's the moment that this stuff all clicks into place for him. But I do think that is one thing that is between them and contention.
Tim, that leads me to another question I had about Luka. Now, obviously, I mean, he's on a historic run, four straight 35-point triple-doubles, to your point. The guy is a freak show. We are so lucky to have him. But you have the Charles Barkley of the world that'll say, is it a problem? You know, the offense and maybe some of this production, like, is that ultimately a negative to the team's success versus just Luka's individual success?
No. Yes, and a little bit of yes. It's no, because this is how teams are playing them lately. I mentioned that Miami sent more double teams, and that allowed a lot more of the ball movement. Lately, over the past couple weeks, as Dallas was losing games, a lot of teams were not doubling. They would help. They would shade help. You know, they would put people, you know, in the vicinity, but they weren't sending absolute help. And the response to that, when you're as good of a scorer as Luka Doncic, is to go score. I don't know how much that takes away from his ability to, you know, maintain the improved defense that we've seen for a lot of this season. Certainly, you know, maybe there's a correlation. It seems like there might have been a correlation over the past couple of weeks as he was, you know, being asked to, you know, just carry this scoring load more often, as his defense slipped as a result. Maybe that's a correlation, and maybe, you know, there's more Dallas can do. I do think there's more Dallas can do to, you know, have more movement and sets and plays a little bit more. But yeah, it's I don't think it's a problem. I think that's kind of a misunderstanding of what exactly Dallas is seeing from the opponents and the way that Luka dictates his style of play based off what the opponents are doing. Yeah. You know, he's always looking for that weakness. But I think there's a middle ground to a small extent where Dallas can get a little bit more out of everybody else, and they can find the ways to do that, because in the long term, that's also going to help Luka do the winning things that they need, you know, from him on both sides of the court.
Tim, you're a stud, man. It's always a joy having you on. It's always knowledge that we're gaining from you. Keep up the fantastic work, and we'll catch up with you, I'm sure, throughout the remainder of the season.
Of course. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you. There he is, Tim Cato of The Athletic, was with us here on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Make sure you're checking out The Athletic for all of his awesome work.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.